Good evening. Y'all can say good evening. I am privileged to have my good sister, Jubilee Jackson, who is a sophomore. Sophomores in the house. She is from Novi, Michigan, and she is going to, all right, represent. She's going to read the scripture today.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But then he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
The word of the Lord. Thank you, Jubilee Jackson. Y'all give her a hand as she... We are privileged tonight to breathe in hallowed air, the air that is in this modified American Gothic architecture. We hold hands with a great cloud of witnesses who have paved our way to be here this evening. Seen or unseen, known or unknown, someone a century ago, decades ago, months ago, petitioned heaven to arrange your presence here tonight. Despite what you may think, you are not here by chance. God has wooed you here for his holy purposes. Constructed in 1929 and adorned with organs and stained glass, Demnant Memorial Chapel is a beacon of hope, some place that women and men can boldly worship the risen Savior, God Almighty, in spirit and in truth. This sanctuary embodies our ecumenically diverse living faith, whereby we are tethered to one another in countless ways, but most of all through our deference to and our hope in God. It's upon this very firm foundation that I want to dig into Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In pondering how Jesus was tempted, as the text lays out, the inevitable pink elephant in the room, I think, is that some of us don't believe that Satan is real. Whether or not we have personally yielded to Jesus as Lord, the concept of a nameable foe active in this world of ours who vehemently and violently opposes the things of God reads as rubbish to you, perhaps. And if not for you, then maybe for your roommate. And if not for your roommate, then maybe for your mother or father back home. Maybe for the stranger that stands in line next to you at Jimmy John's or Meijer or Phelps. In the entertainment realm, devilish, satanic beings are often caricatured as having red bodies highlighted with protruding horns and a tail, usually brandishing a pitchfork. It's worth noting, however, that the Bible contains nuances concerning the personification of evil. For example, there's the adversary or accuser labeled the Satan of the Old Testament, who represents evil in more broad communal terms. Then you've got the devil or Satan of the New Testament, who points to evil with a, a different degree of specificity. It's been said the greatest trick the devil ever played was to make the world believe he doesn't exist. To argue that Satan or the devil doesn't exist actually denies the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 through 11, the apostle writes this: "Discipline yourselves, keep alert, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour." Satan, then, cannot be a product of an overactive imagination as some purely allegoric character. And besides that, if Jesus, the Son of God, Logos, Emmanuel, had a personal run-in with Satan, then I wonder where we get off with our anemic postmodern rationale to render his experience untrue, and by virtue of his experience, our experiences untrue. God is not a man that he should lie, and so not only is temptation real, but Satan is real also. Satan has an eternal goal to commandeer our devotion to God. Over on Columbia Avenue in Hope College's Dupree Art Center, there is an exhibit running through Friday, October 7th, that I want to encourage you to visit. Admission is free. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And if you don't want to go alone, I would love to tag along. I'm sure campus ministries, professors, other folks would love to connect with you and tag along. Hateful Things, this exhibit, is a traveling sample from Ferris State University's Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, which is a collection of racist objects that stereotype African Americans. Powerfully etched in these dreadful items, you will find the fingerprints of Satan, an enemy of the people of God, who, if at all possible, at all times, will use anyone, anywhere to divide and conquer, to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan, if you didn't know, is an equal opportunity assassin. He tempts and tramples over black and white, immigrant and indigenous, rich and poor. We are all vulnerable to the devil's deceit, and it's hard to resist or rebuke that which you do not believe exists. Jesus knew that the devil was real. And if Jesus was tempted then we will be tempted. Our hostile dance with the devil under the pale moonlight may not take place in the wilderness, but you best believe that it is going down. It is going to happen. And if you pay attention, you will come to know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, we find an intriguing encounter that Jesus has with the devil. You'll notice that the three temptations came one after another, poking fun at his hunger pains. In verse 3, the devil first tried to persuade Jesus to put his divinity on display, cheap display. Jesus responded by referencing Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." But the devil continued on. He attempted to get Jesus to simulate suicide in order to prove his power as God's son. Jesus responded again with scripture referencing Psalm 91, 11 through 12, and then Deuteronomy 16, words that spoke that God spoke to the Israelites long ago. "Do not put your God, your Lord God, to the test." And then lastly, the third temptation, the devil looked for Jesus to commit idolatry. At the top of an unidentified mountain, the devil showcased a buffet of all that the world has to offer, and he said to Jesus, the Rock of Ages, all of this I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Clearly, by now, Jesus was a bit perturbed, a bit annoyed by the devil, though not shaken. And so you see that in his reply in verse 10, away with you, Satan. And he quotes Deuteronomy 6:13, the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and his name alone you shall swear. And it's at this juncture, of course, that the devil left and angels came to tend to Jesus. Jesus was not delusional. He knew that the devil was real. He knew that the devil would do anything and everything to hinder his father's plans. When this showdown began, he could have easily responded to the devil's temptations with something juvenile, like, I'm rubber, you're glue, devil. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Jesus could have delivered a scathing op-ed piece or an intricate scholarly retort to end the devil's ambush. Jesus could have talked about the devil's mama. In point of fact, Jesus also could have buckled under the pressure. He could have gave himself over to the temptations, but Jesus did not. Jesus used the word of God to withstand temptation, even as he himself is the Word who became flesh and lived among us. And the good news is that those same resources are available to you and I today. The Satan we find in the Garden of Eden deceiving humankind is the same Satan the book of Revelation reveals as being defeated once and for all. Satan is as real and active in Holland as he is in Istanbul, as he is in India, as he is in Italy, as divisive as in your heart as he is in mine. That's why fighting the temptations of Satan with the word of God rather than with self-help mantras and other human rationale is so critical. It's critical because the word of God carries weight. You and I do not. So know that you are in good company if, as the devil tempts you, you find yourself sounding like a broken record or a broken CD player, or maybe for you guys to get it, like a broken MP3 player or something that's just stuck on the same song over and over and over again. We have to get into that habit of going back to Scripture over and over and over again. If you would, permit me to close with a brief word of caution. I don't want you to become one of those people who go around attributing to the devil any and every little thing that does not go your way or that inconveniences you in the slightest. Goodness gracious, just because you get a C- on an exam, just because you are injured playing your sport of choice, just because you have a bad hair day, just because you perhaps get a flat tire, that does not automatically mean that hellish minions are out and about trying to get you off track from following Jesus. But I don't want you to be fooled into believing that the devil is not real. Jesus was tempted by the devil, so we will be tempted by the devil. And our task is to respond confidently with Scripture, often and always. And my prayer is that we can be a community that stands confidently on the Word of God, that we can affirm what it affirms, and that we can lovingly denounce that which it denounces. I pray that Hope College can be a place where we overcome the temptations of the evil one with Jesus, our only hope, the Word made flesh, who put on a coat of human likeness and moved into the neighborhood of human brokenness, all for the task of setting us free from sin. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.